97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station in North Georgia. Time once again for Community Focus, our public affairs program. And joining me this morning is Hall County Administrator Zach Probst, our program this morning. Good to see you, Zach.
How are you doing?
I am blessed. Good to have you with us once again here this morning. He was with us last Tuesday, back again with us this morning to talk about SPLAS.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me again.
All right. So what are we going to talk about this week that we did not talk about last week? Start things off.
Well, I just want to cover a few things from last week as a reminder, but really just want to try to keep it simple and make sure we cover a few more of the projects in depth. But, you know, just want to make sure that we're simply stating that this is a continuation of our sales tax. We've had this 1% since 1985, and so this is to renew that. Effective July 1st of 2026. This question will be on the November 4th ballot this fall. And, you know, again, what I've said a few times here recently to groups, the question comes down to how do you want to see local government funded? And so many of our services that we provide in the county, there are more than just residents, full-time residents that receive those services. And, you know, sales tax programs allow non-residents to contribute a meaningful amount towards covering the cost of services in a local government. And, you know, a great example is, we'll just think about ambulances, for example. You know, our ambulance service is a countywide service, and it's just not people like you and me that are receiving the ambulance assistance. There's a lot of non-residents that are here, whether they're vacationing on Lake Lanier or just passing through to get to the mountains. They might have an emergency and need an ambulance ride. And our sales tax program over the past few cycles has helped replace ambulances in the county. And, you know, that's a fundamental question. As a resident, do you want to fund 100% of the cost of ambulances, or do you want to share those costs with non-residents who are using that service anyway? And I can replicate that example over and over. I can use that for roads, I can use that for parks, etc. How do you want to see your government fund its services? Do we as full-time residents want to foot 100% of the cost, or do we want to share that through sales tax programs?
I think people ask the question, Zach, is not only just the residents here, but the ones that are funding it, if you don't have a sales tax, it's by property taxes.
That's correct.
So people who don't own property, is not going to affect them unless there is a sales tax that they'll be helping fund government.
That's right.
So let's go into details about that, because a lot of people have that question, but, well, you know, it's not going to affect me, so why should I go ahead and tax myself if I don't own property? And that's what we need to get everybody to know. They need to be involved in. And what's going on with government?
Well, you know, and I think that is a good point. You know, if you rent, for example, the owner of the property is going to recover all their expenses that they have to own and lease out that property. And their property taxes they pay are part of that. You end up paying it in your monthly rent. And, you know, that's just reality. You might not pay a property tax bill every year, but you pay it monthly in your rent. So you are paying it. It's just an indirect payment. And, you know, that's the same for people living in apartments. The owner of the apartment complex, they pay property taxes. So they've worked that into the monthly rent. So you are paying it. It's just indirect.
People ask the question about, do you have any idea, any information that you could share with the listeners about the people you're talking about? Everyone sharing in this sales tax that would be voted on November the 4th. People who work here, visit here, spend money here outside Hall County that would participate in this. Is there any way to even come close to knowing?
So we use the figure 40%, and I think that's really conservative. But I think it is the best approach is to be conservative on a stat like that. But you really think about what Hall County is. I mean, we are the leader in this region in services. We are not just a bedroom community. You know, we are a regional hub of activity with health care. We have the third largest health system in the state headquartered here in Gainesville. They have a second campus in Braselton. They even have a campus just north of Hall County and Lumpkin County. A lot of people travel through Hall County to get over there. So, you know, you've got the health system that's a big, over a million patient draw in this region of the state. That is just a huge number of individuals that are here every day, that are on our roads, that are using our services, that they do not live here and they do not pay property taxes. So that's one example. The other example is our lake, Lake Lanier, the busiest core lake in the country, 14 million visitors a year. The majority of Lake Lanier is located in Hall County. Those individuals are coming here for vacation, to enjoy the lake on the weekends, coming to fishing tournaments. They're not residents. They're not paying property taxes, yet they're utilizing services that are supported by both property taxes and sales tax. Do you want to see those individuals pay a sales tax to help support the government? The same with higher education institutions, University of North Georgia, Lanier Tech, Brenau, all these commuter students coming here every day. Where on our infrastructure? And then our workforce. I mean, we've got a wonderful economy. We've got a lot of manufacturing, a lot of diverse different business types in the community that people come here every day to work, that they live in a surrounding community. They live in Banks County, Jackson County, White County, Lumpkin County, wherever. And those individuals do not live here, but they're eating out lunch, they're shopping at, you know, a grocery store on their way home, they're stopping at Target to buy something during the day. They're contributing through a sales tax to help fund those infrastructure needs. And without this program, that would go away. And then you're turning around and you're looking at the option of, okay, do we need to look at property taxes, or do we need to reduce services? And a reduce of service truly would impact our quality of life. We would be reducing the number of roads we resurface. We'd be reducing the number of ambulances, the number of fire engines, the number of patrol cars, the number of park enhancements that we have on the books. All those impact quality of life. And without a program like this where you're sharing those costs with all the non-residents, you know, those are your other options.
Our guest this morning on Community Focus is Zach Probst, Hall County Minister, talking about SPLOST. This will be a referendum on November the 4th, the early voting taking place, I think, on October the 14th. So It'll be here before we know it from that standpoint. So we're here to educate you, to let you make up your mind about whether to vote for or against this. So let everybody know, how much money are you looking at generating with SPLOST number 9?
Right. So just to continue this 1%, this is not a new tax. It's just a continuation of the 1% that will generate $440 million. And again, 40% of that, which is a very conservative number, is going to be funded by those non-residents that come here every day.
All right, Zach, let me ask you, how much was SPLOST number 8?
So SPLOST 8, we had an estimate of $217 million, and it has performed much better than that. And we've used those additional proceeds to resurface more roads. So we originally had a plan to resurface 20 miles of road a year. And after SPLOST 8 started and we started realizing a different sales tax revenue stream, higher than projected revenue stream, we then started doing 30 miles of road a year. That costs us $15 million approximately to 30 miles. So we've put those additional dollars to use. We also ended up doing some more road improvement projects around White Sulphur Road. And we did some additional improvements, like the Lights Ferry roundabout. So we deployed those additional proceeds already in that SPLOST program. The other item that, you know, contributed to the increase is inflation. So, you know, we were the recipients of inflation, but we turned around and had to pay that inflation back on projects. So a great example is, it used to cost us $350,000 to resurface 1 mile of road. Now it costs $450,000. And we built Fire Station 1 under a pre-inflation number of, you know, before the inflation spike around 22, 23, we built Station 1 for about $3.5 million. This last April, not last April, April of 2024, excuse me, we opened Station 17. It was a post-inflation fire station. Double the cost over $7 million.
Wow.
So, you know, we might have received more revenue, but it was offset by inflation as well.
The question is, how does it work legally when we know what the items are? Like, we know what the items are for SPLOST number 9. And if we are blessed to have a lot more revenue coming into Hall County, and we pay for those items and there's more coming in, how do you explain to listeners about how that money is utilized? We've still got SPLOST, we've still got money coming in, but it's like, okay, there are special purpose items that have already been paid for, then let everybody know, and I think there's some confusion there about what happens then.
So that's a great question. So state law requires you to spend the additional proceeds on either the stated projects or project categories. So you have to spend it on the projects that were on the ballot. So, you know, that's why we were able to spend additional money coming in on SPLOST 8 on resurfacing. We had that as a project. So we decided to increase the amount of mileage and put those funds to work. Same principle with SPLOST 9 will apply. Additionally, we have a SPLOST Citizen Oversight Committee that oversees SPLOST 7, SPLOST 8, and when SPLOST 9 is in place, if it is approved by the community, they will oversee SPLOST 9 as well. So that oversight committee makes sure, in addition to the state law requirements, which we're audited on every year, we have to submit our audit to the state for review. There's that base layer of the state requirement and the citizen oversight committee that's making sure we're adhering to what the voters approved as well.
And as a listener and a citizen voter here in Hall County, might say, okay, we're doubling the amount of SPLOST 9 over SPLOST 8. Is the economy that good here in Hall County?
Yes.
That's a good thing to hear, too, from that standpoint. So let's talk about some of the key issues you want to talk about this morning and ask some other questions about some of the main items on SPLOST number 9.
That's right. So, you know, we are committed to over $150 million worth of road improvement projects on the SPLOST 9, in the SPLOST 9 program. That's both between the county and scattered throughout the city. So the county has about $110 million or so worth of road projects. And then the cities have about $46 million in total of road projects. That's a large amount of money going towards roads. And, you know, we're very happy with that. The county's three main areas for roads: Spout Springs Road, Phase 2 widening. If you live in that area of the county, you know, we completed Phase 1 with the state about 2 years ago. And this widening project picks up where that left off at Union Church Road and ends south of Friendship Road. And this is a $25 million investment that we would put with the state to help the state get that road widening project done and moved up, hopefully, so that we can get it done sooner. Road resurfacing, we've got over $55 million to keep up with our road resurfacing program throughout the county. We've got $20 million in intersection improvements. That includes intersections on McEver Road in South Hall, Mount Vernon Road in North Hall, Joe Chandler Road in East Hall. Then we've got a large amount of money going to parks to maintain, you know, that quality of life that so many people are looking for. We've got a brand new park in South Hall off Spout Springs Road. We're reusing some land we've owned for years. It's about 200 acres that we're going to convert into this park that will have an active life center for adults. It'll have 9 pickleball courts. It'll have 6 miles of walking trails. We'll have baseball fields there, multi-purpose fields. We're even studying a kind of like a swimming pool aquatic center right there as well. So I'm not sure how that will pan out, but, you know, that also is kind of something that the group is looking at. There's been a lot of citizen input on this, and, you know, that is a needed park. We are out of community center space, and just trying to create a sense of place and community in that South Hall corridor. We've also got $4 million for the Helens Head Mill Park. That's up here off 365. It's a wonderful green space that we've got that we're currently working on, and this would further that park. We also have the Sardis Creek Park. We just took that over from the federal government July 1st. That's over near Chesity High School. We've got a few million dollars in this program to improve it. And we also got $12 million to go towards our existing park infrastructure. We have like 26 park facilities in the county, and we've got to continue to maintain those through capital investments, so $12 million to go towards that. We also have ambulance replacement on this program, as well as sheriff's patrol cars replacement. We replace about 25 patrol cars a year for the sheriff's office. We've got the Highlands to Islands Trail expansion. This is to pick up from Oakwood, the University of North Georgia campus in Oakwood, to get through Flowery Branch. And we also have a judicial complex expansion. So that's a expansion project. We're out of space in our current judicial system, and we're kind of spread out over 9 different facilities in downtown Gainesville and out Browns Bridge Road towards the government center at the intersection of Mountain McEver and Browns Bridge. So, you know, in an effort to be lean over the past 15 years, we've kind of added buildings sporadically to the judicial complex portfolio. And in turn, we've kind of gotten a little inefficient. We've got some safety check issues. You got parking issues. So consolidating down and trying to operate out of 2 or 3 main facilities is one of the goals. But, you know, we're also, as of today, really as of 3 years ago, we did an initial study. We were 100,000 square foot short 3 years ago. So, you know, that's only continued to expand. And so we really need to look at making sure we can maintain a quality judicial system. And so many services are provided through our wonderful judicial system. This isn't just a place where criminals go to have their day in court. You know, this is where you go for real estate transactions. It's where you go to get a marriage license, other records. So there's a lot of, you know, daily activity within our judicial system that most citizens at some point in their life receive there.
All right, so for people listening to us this morning, the questions that I've heard from some people from the standpoint of the judicial center, I call it the courthouse, mm-hmm. is there a definite plan yet about how big the building or buildings is going to be? Are there any architectural plans yet that people can know, here's where my money is going?
Yes, so we, and the media has run a story or two on this. The Gainesville Times has. So we did 2 different studies. The second study was a more intense judicial study that looked at certain data points that the original countywide space study did not. And that study found that we needed up to 370,000 square feet of space over a 30-year period. That was scaled back. The original study came out that we needed 450,000 square feet in addition to what we already had. And we scaled that back through some additional vetting and sharpening the pencil to 370,000 in addition to what we have. So,
in addition to what we have? So how much do we have right now?
So right now, and again, we're repackaging. So, but we want to keep the main courthouse functional. So that has 150,000 square feet. So if you're looking at the whole program, that's what is that for? Almost over 500,000 square feet of space that you need in a 30-year period of time to manage the growth of the community. So what we're doing right now is, you know, we're finalizing a site. We've got about 3 sites that we've zeroed in on. And then, you know, we're looking at how to best program the expansion. We know the need. Now we're trying to figure out, you know, how much, the timing and all that. But yes, we have a concept of what it looks like. You know, that was shared here recently at some events. And we also, I believe the Gainesville Times ran a story on this a couple months back. So, I mean, there's been some information that's been released. And then we got a courthouse video on our Splost website you can watch, kind of showing some of the need there. And again, I mean, this is one of those projects that here we are 25 years later where we've got to grow. Our current courthouse was built in the year 2000, and it was a significant investment, and it's been a facility that's, you know, we've been able to grow into, but now we're out of space there. The 1976 courthouse was built 24 years prior to that. So you kind of see a trend here. And the 36 courthouse was built after the major tornado back in the 30s. And, you know, it serviced it for 40 years. So you had the 36, the 76, the 2000, and here we are in 2025, and we've got to expand again. It's just part of running a county government.
All right, so with the money that would be listed in the SPLOST for that judicial center, does that include just the building, or is that everything involved when it comes to possibly buying land? Or tell everybody about that.
So it just depends on what the ultimate decision is. I mean, you know, we've got some, we've got options down at Browns Bridge Road where we currently own land. You know, we could expand in downtown Gainesville. That would require us to buy some additional property. You know, and we'll let the money will take us as far as it can. You know, I mean, that's, we've got $125 million on this program, you know, to see how far we can get. We also have $20 million for a parking deck that's attached to it. So you got $145 million to make this investment within this SPLOST program. And, you know, we'll see how far it takes us. You know, but again, the only other option on something meaningful like this, and this is why sales tax programs are important. Prior to 1985, okay, so 40 years ago, before the state allowed local communities like ours to ask for a SPLOST or ask for a SPLOST program through a sales tax, the way these kind of projects were handled is you took out a bond, you financed it, and you attached a millage rate to it.
Mm-hmm.
Through property taxes.
Right.
So that's how you would do meaningful projects. And you could look around the room, and that's how they did everything. They did that with jails. They did that with courthouses. They did that with administration buildings. Mm-hmm. They did that with schools, you know. And so, you know, those options are still available to us. But this option allows for a sales tax to come in lieu of property taxes to fund whatever the capital outlay is.
Everybody know, how long would the SPLOST last?
This SPLOST would last for 6 years. It is, again, it would begin, if approved, in November. It would begin on July 1st of 2026 and run 6 years from that date.
So go through 2032 from that standpoint.
That's
and
right.
Did the projects have to be completed by that time?
They do not. They need to be completed as soon as reasonably possible. But like right now, we've got two projects left in SPLOST 7. SPLOST 7 ended on June the 30th of 2020. We have about $6 million left there. One project is a Mulberry Creek back pumping project that for various reasons with our Spout Springs Water Reclamation Facility, we've not been able to get that programmed. It's currently programmed for 2027. That's a $2.3 million project. So by law, because that was on the ballot and that was in the IGA, we have to do that project. And the county's committed to it, but that just means that SPLOST 7 project has to hang there until we can get it done. The other project in SPLOST 7 is the White Sulphur Road and Cagle Road projects that we're working on right now. That's like $2.6 million in SPLOST 7. So, you know, our
but
goal...
Surely inflation's increased that amount too, right?
Yeah, so the original plan, you know, financially, you know, we might have to put some other money with it from some other source, you know, impact fees or, you know, property tax dollars, or maybe get a grant. You know, we've managed the White Sulphur and Cagle Road project with, you know, those projects totaled about, I think, just over $30 million. About $10 million came from the state. We had about, and some federal funding, and then the county put in, you know, some money. So, I mean, we kind of piecemealed all that together, but it wasn't all sales
sure.
tax money, but a portion of it was sales tax money, is what
sure.
I was trying to say.
Sure.
So, you know, like SPLOST 7 is a good example of, you know, we have to honor state law, and that's how committed these programs are and your local government is to honoring what was approved by the voters to be trustworthy and to be transparent. So then in SPLOST 8, you know, we're about, you know, we've spent substantially most of SPLOST 8 dollars. Our big project there is remaining, in addition to resurfacing, is the Spout Springs Phase 2 Rideaway acquisition. So we got $26 million that we'll spend down over the next few years to acquire Rideaway for the Spout Springs project. That's the first piece. SPLOST 9, this proposal, has the construction in it. So the SPLOST 8 money is for Rideaway. SPLOST 9, if approved, will be to construct it.
Got you. All right, final thing, different subject real quick, okay? Mm-hmm. Share with listeners that questions are asked. We had our tax assessments. It came out from Steve Watson's office. We've got that. I've heard that possibly that we'll start getting our tax bill maybe November the 1st. Let everybody know real quick about where we are with the tax digest and how it's going to work right now.
So simply put, and I'm just trying to be simple on this, the notice of assessments have gotten complicated. And, you know, if you have a question about your assessment, what I would do is I would call the tax assessor's office mm-hmm. and ask them for help. We had this conversation yesterday. But to keep it simple, there is a significant likelihood, and I mean to the tune of 90% of residential property owners that are in Homestead. So like my property is in Homestead. Mm-hmm. I'm a residential property owner. This isn't commercial. This is just residential. Right. If you're in Homestead, your property taxes will decrease to the tune of like 91% of our residential Homestead parcels. So I'm not saying it's going to go down 91%. What I'm saying is 91% of that bucket of the tax digest, the Homestead residential property owners, those parcels, 91% of those parcels are going to decrease in property taxes from last year. I mean, that is the simple way to put it, because what the state implemented, the local legislation that was implemented here, it was effective. It reset your property value for the taxable portion, not the fair market value, but what the county uses to calculate your property taxes, or what the cities use to calculate property taxes. That taxable value is going back to 2023. So by design, everyone was getting a tax break for the most part. Does that make sense?
In a way, yes. From that standpoint, I think at least I caused some less confusion from people from standpoint. It'd be still some confusion, I'm sure, but it'd be a lot more simple from that standpoint. We may have you on later on once we get everything straightened out from that standpoint. We start getting our bills. You're always welcome to join us anytime. You know that, and stay transparent and keep everybody up to date what's going on here with Hall County government. A lot going on, as we well know. And I appreciate your time, friend. I really do. We got much more for you here on 97.5 Glory FM as we bring you the information you need for you and your family. That's Community Focus for this Tuesday morning. Thanks for being with us.